stay tuned for Mystery Theater. Come in.
Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Once again, I invite you to sail with me on a mysterious voyage into the unknown, unexplored country of the human mind. To be fair, it must be said that the mass murder of millions of human beings was not invented during our century. But to be accurate, it should be noted that in our generation, massacres, holocausts, and wholesale slaughter in general has been developed into what might be considered a fine art. Certainly, the atrocities that ancient, uncivilized barbarians committed in paroxysms of superstitious passion have been performed in our day with an almost impersonal and scientific objectivity. Is this better or worse? Or does it matter? Our mystery drama, The Golem, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Robert Lansing. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Ever see a beer drinker pour his beer real easy down the side of the glass? Maybe you do it yourself. If so, the Budweiser Brewmaster thinks you're missing something, especially if you're a Budweiser drinker. You see, Bud is brewed, so it will kick up a healthy head of foam. Exclusive Beechwood aging and natural carbonation make it a lively brew. Well, anyway, pouring Bud plunk down the middle of the glass helps bring out the best in the clean white Budweiser foam and real beer aroma. It also helps you get the full benefit of a taste, smoothness, and drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Remember, brewing beer right does make a difference. Next time, pour that Budweiser right down the middle and see for yourself. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hey, ma'am, what's for dinner? Hey, ma'am, what you got?
What's for dinner? ShopRite suggests you start the new year with a luscious steak dinner. Choice grade beef sirloin steaks just $1.27 a pound, or cut beef chuck steaks 55 cents a pound. Or change off with fresh ham, shank half 79 cents a pound, butt half 89 cents a pound. For economy meals is fresh ground chuck 89 cents a pound, freshly cut chicken leg 69 cents a pound. Save too on U.S. number one Eastern potatoes, just 59 cents for a 10-pound bag. Don't miss these budget boosters at ShopRite. And have a happy new year.
She loves the family. She wants the best. She does all that she can do. She lets ShopRite do the rest. Hey, ma, what's for dinner? ShopRite has the answer.
There are times in the history of the human race when things become unstuck. The glue of morality melts under the intense heat of hideous pressures, and men are no longer tied to a rational society. Suddenly, the world is ruled by madmen, and human beings are arbitrarily divided into two groups, the hunters and the hunted. The year is 1943. We're in a cottage in the thick woods that surround a country town in a vast wilderness somewhere in Central Europe. The man is a forester. He is sitting quietly before a pleasant fire. His wife is telling a bedtime story to a sleepy child in a crib.
And so the king said to each of the suitors who came to ask for his daughter's hand, "All of you are handsome and all of you are strong, but the one who is chosen must also have a good heart. He must be kind to the poor, and he must protect the weak." Shh, I think she's asleep. Now I can heat up your supper.
Just imagine, Topchick. I was able to get beef today. Think of it, beef.
I'm not hungry.
You're not hungry? Topchick, what is the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, no. Something's wrong.
I don't want to talk about it.
Eat your supper. You'll feel better.
I'll never feel better. I was in town today.
Yes?
And in the square, there were soldiers, Germans, the Nazis. They'd rounded up about 100 people.
Jews?
Yes. And they were shoving them into trucks.
Why should we care?
Taking them away to kill them.
Well, it's war and...
Do you know what I did?
No.
I did nothing.
I don't understand. What were you supposed to do?
Once I saw a man who was whipping a horse, an old, sick horse. Do you know what I did to that man?
Tomchek, please, you're only going...
And all he was doing was whipping a horse.
Oh.
And today in the square, I did nothing. All of us, we just stood around. We all did nothing. Most people pretended that nothing was happening.
Tomchek, please.
Let me tell you who was there.
I'm not interested.
A very old man with a long white beard. He was standing next to a young girl.
I just don't want to hear anymore.
He was standing quietly, very quietly, looking straight ahead. And it so happened that his eyes looked straight into mine.
Please, Tomchek.
His eyes, they asked me for help, but I turned my head away. I denied him.
If you've done anything at all, you'd be dead. Who could that be?
I don't know.
Are you sure you didn't do anything?
I told you I did nothing.
I'll open it. Who are you?
It's the old man and the young girl.
Please, may we come in just to get warm at your fire? My grandfather. So old, and he's very sick, and he needs, please, a little water, just a little water, and a piece of bread. Young girl, please, I want to help you.
God bless you.
But I can't. Please don't ask me to. They'll burn the house down. They'll kill us.
Just let my grandfather get warm for a minute.
Oh, no, please don't come in. They'll find out you were here. Please don't destroy us. Have mercy on us.
I'm sorry I disturbed you. Come, Grandfather. There is no one at home here.
Tomchek, what are you staring at?
Did you see the old man's eyes?
Now, Tomchek.
How those eyes looked into mine.
I tell you, I won't listen.
And for the second time today... I denied him.
Come, Jack. You haven't touched a bite. Please, you worked hard all day. You must eat.
I think I'll go for a walk.
Now?
Yes.
In this weather? But it's crazy. Now, look, you listen to me.
I think you've said enough for one day.
Open! In the name of the Führer!
Nazis! Let me do the talking. Please let me do the talking.
Open.
Yes, I'm coming. Oh, good evening, Lieutenant. That is the Lieutenant's insignia, isn't it?
As if you don't know. We're looking for two escaped criminals.
Criminals?
An old man with a white beard. A girl about 20.
What crime did they commit?
Tomchek.
What crime? You're a funny one.
Oh, Tomchek, this is no time for your jokes. The soldiers are here on serious business.
You say you haven't seen them?
No, no, Lieutenant.
Then you should have no objection if we search the house.
Well, why should we object?
Inside, boys.
That staircase leads up to the attic, and this trap door is for the cellar.
You are... Tomchek Masaryk, the forest?
Yes, he is, and I'm his wife, Marina.
You've seen no one all day?
No, sir.
Well, those vermin can't go far.
What will you do with them if you catch them?
You mean when we catch them? They've given us too much trouble already. We'll just shoot them. Oh, excuse me. I had noticed you have a little one.
Yes.
Asleep there in the crib. Boys, boys, move about more quietly. Oh. She is a little princess, isn't she?
Yes. She'll be 5 in November.
You know I have one. She'll be 4.
Her name is Olga.
Really? Mine is called Helga. It's the same name, you know. Boys, there's no one hiding around here. Form them up outside, Sergeant.
Won't you have a glass of wine, Lieutenant?
Oh, no, not on duty. What is your husband's name again?
Tomchek.
Tomchek, I need your help.
My help?
Oh, he'd be thrilled to be of service.
They say you know these forests better than any man living.
He knows every tree.
I want you to come with me.
Me?
Do you have any objections? I need a guide.
Oh.
You'd know every likely hiding place.
Oh, he certainly would.
And if you can find them for us, there'll be a handsome reward for your work.
Oh, Tomchek doesn't want a reward. That's just the knowledge that he's doing his duty.
You know, Tomchek, my wife is like that, too. I can never get a word in edgewise when she's around. Well, let us go.
You mean now?
Now.
Lieutenant?
Yes, Tomchek.
I would suggest we go no further.
Why?
There's no moon. The terrain is getting too treacherous.
Is it?
We've got gullies, ravines. A man can fall and break a leg.
You wouldn't be trying to frighten me, would you?
Why would I want to do that, Lieutenant?
Or maybe you don't want to find them.
They're nothing to me.
Help! Help!
That's one of your men.
Sounds like Streicher. Sergeant, get some men over there fast. Well, Tomchek, you may have been right. I can't see a thing out here. Is Streicher all right?
Yeah, on his leg. We have to carry him back.
Sergeant, bring everybody close to the path. We're heading home. Tomchek, what chance do they have to survive out there?
None.
Well, we'll make sure of that tomorrow morning. Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Oh, go ahead, take one. You know you're dying for a smoke.
Well.
Keep the pack. Plenty of cigarettes. Yes, plenty of good food, good jobs. 4 sensible people. Tell me something, Tomchek. Are you a sensible person? Yeah, have a light. What is it, Tomchek? What's the matter?
The matter?
As I struck the match, I could see your face. You had a funny look. As if you were in pain.
I have this arthritis.
Well, so do I. But from the look on your face, yours must be pretty bad.
Yes.
Well, get some sleep. Tomorrow could be another long day.
Lieutenant, do we have to keep looking for them?
Do we have to?
All you do when you find them is shoot them.
Perhaps.
In a day or two, they'll be dead of cold and hunger anyhow.
Oh, you're back. Did they find...
No.
I have something nice and hot for you to drink. Take off your coat. Why are you just standing there?
Shh. I want to make sure the Nazis are gone.
Why don't you take off your coat?
I'm going out again right away.
But where? I demand to know where.
There are 2 people who need help.
But you just said they didn't find
them. That's right. They didn't. The Nazis didn't find them, but I found them.
How could you?
The lieutenant and I, we'd stopped to light a cigarette. He was facing one way, and I another. In the flare of the match, I could see, near a tree in the darkness, the face of the old man.
You saw the old man?
It was only for a moment, but that moment was as long as eternity. His eyes burned into mine. The pleading...
Tomchek, please listen to me.
Once again, I turned my head away. And a voice whispered in my ear, a voice I had never heard before, whispered, "This night, you shall deny me 3 times." Marina, I have denied him 3 times. I cannot deny him again.
Oh, how easy it is to believe in brotherly love when your brother is lovable and respectable and acceptable. But what do you do about those brothers who are hated and hunted, who have every man's hand turned against them? Well, that's when you find out what you really believe the hard way. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. To feel better.
6 or 3 or 1.
Please, don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips. Congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief of those symptoms. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
If you're cold to contact, the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1, take contact, only as directed.
Start the new year with Suburban's new high interest rate. Suburban Savings in New Jersey is offering a top 8.17% effective yield on their 7.75% 6-year savings certificate. Just $1,000 minimum is all you need to ring in the new year with this top rate. Suburban Savings also has other ways to make 1975 a happy year, including its 4-year 7.5% certificate, which yields 7.90% per year. Federal regulations allow premature withdrawals on savings certificates, provided federal penalties are adhered to. Make it a New Year's resolution to save at Suburban, where you always get the highest interest allowed by law. Visit your Suburban Savings office in Elmwood Park, Paramus and Emerson, or any one of the other Suburban offices throughout New Jersey. This is WOR New York, your mystery theater station.
His name is Tomcheck. Her name is Marina. They live in a great mountainous forest that covers much of Central Europe. Around them swirl distant echoes of the greatest war in history. And yet, their lives seem but little touched. True, almost every night, they hear the drone of Liberators, Lancasters, and B-17s. But their small town is hardly ever hit. And true, there are people who are being ruthlessly exterminated, but as Marina keeps reminding Tomcheck, it's none of their affair. And it wasn't. Until tonight.
Tomcheck? What are you saying?
I heard a voice.
No.
A voice that said...
Oh, please. I'm frightened.
The voice said, "This night you shall deny me 3 times. And I have.
What are you going to do?
I need blankets.
Oh, no.
Food.
I won't let you...
Something inside
it's
me is
witchcraft.
Making...
witchcraft. The old man, he bewitched you.
No, you and I, we don't believe in that.
All right. You can't help yourself. I know.
The voice keeps telling me I must go out there.
I know. Now, let me help you.
You want to help me?
Yes, I'll get a rope. I'll tie you to the
bed.
What
are you talking about?
I'll be able to hold you here. Let me. No, please. Tomcheck!
Will you get out of my way?
No, I'll leave this place. I'll save myself and our child. Tomcheck! Oh, Lord, save us.
Old man, you're here. I know it. Will you trust me? I want to help you. Where are you? You have to be here. I want to help you. No. Don't be afraid.
If, If you mean to kill us, do it quickly.
Oh, shh. I've come to help you.
Why?
Because... the old man, where is he? You can't just let him lie on the ground like that.
I don't have any more strength.
He'll freeze to death. We have to get him to his feet. Come on. Come on, old man. He's unconscious. We must make him walk.
Let him die. In peace.
No, he's going to live.
For how long?
Who knows how long anyone will live. Here. Here, put this blanket around his shoulders. And take this one for yourself. Come on, old man. We must walk.
Where?
It's to a hidden place. It's a place I know. It's a cave.
Oh, bless you. Do you realize how much you're doing for us?
It's not very much. I remember once I did more for a horse.
I never thought I'd be warm again.
You were less than 500 yards away from this cave.
The smoke from the fire. Will somebody see it?
No, there's nothing to worry about. This cave is my secret. Here. Drink this hot.
Grandfather.
Shh, let him sleep. He'll get better now. I saw you earlier today in the square. How did you escape?
Well, you see... Oh, I can tell you. I know it. I can trust you. My grandfather was a chemist in Prague.
Yes.
When the Nazis took over, he was afraid that they would force him to work for them, and so we went into hiding, and it's been that way, running from place to place.
That's almost 5 years. How did you manage?
There were all sorts of people. Some were kind enough to help us. Others betrayed us.
But you got away.
Well, the officer in charge of the convoy, the lieutenant, he kept looking at my grandfather.
Why?
He must have recognized him. Grandfather was a very famous research chemist.
Yes.
He'd been working on a formula that would release explosive forces much, much more powerful than dynamite.
No, I'm afraid I don't understand. I'm not very educated. I'm only a peasant.
I don't really understand it either. And I've been to the university. But he is afraid that they could torture him to working for them. So he said to me... He said...
Yes?
He said, let us try to run away and then they'll shoot us and that way it'll be over quickly.
But how did you run away?
After we left the square, they drove us to the edge of the forest, and the truck had a blowout, and they ordered everyone off of it.
Well?
Grandfather took my hand, and we walked toward the woods.
What do you mean, just like that?
At any moment, we expected to hear shots and be killed. But nothing happened.
How do you account for it?
Well, I suppose they didn't think anyone would dare to escape, and they were so busy yelling at the driver for his carelessness, and so we just kept walking.
Rebecca.
Oh, here, he's coming around.
Rebecca.
Is that your name, Rebecca?
No. My name is Rachel.
Rebecca. Where are you?
I don't understand. He doesn't know anyone named Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Grandpa.
There you are, child.
Grandpa, don't you know who I am?
Of course, my child. You're Rebecca, daughter of my oldest son, Ezra.
Grandpa, don't you know who you are?
Child, what are these questions? I know who I am. I am Solomon ben Isaac, rabbi of Prague. Where is the book?
The book?
The book that was sent to me by my old friend, the Spanish rabbi.
The Spanish rabbi?
Well, you know him. Moses ben Maimonides.
Maimonides? Grandfather, Maimonides has been dead for more than 700 years.
And in this book, He speaks of a golem.
A golem?
How it is possible to create a champion, to make out of clay a man of irresistible force who will come to the rescue of oppressed people. A golem.
Oh, grandfather.
I will create such a champion, and he will rescue our people. Now, child, you must not disturb me. I must close my eyes and think.
Yes. Yes, grandfather. Oh, his mind is gone. It's gone.
What was he talking about?
Oh, a legend. A medieval Hebrew legend about a golem. It must have been the golem of Prague who saved our people once during some troubled times.
A legend?
A creature made by one of our wise men, but I don't understand.
You don't have to understand a legend.
He thinks he's a 13th century rabbi. He was never interested in history.
Rebecca.
Yes, grandfather.
I will save us. You see, I'll save all of us. I promise. Child, I have never broken my promise.
Oh, I was scared out of my wits. I thought you'd be caught and shot.
Well, I wasn't.
You found them, I suppose.
Let's not talk about it.
That's...
Yes, I know who that is. Let him in. As if we have anything to say about it.
Don't despise me, Tomcheck. Is it so terrible to want to live? Oh, Lieutenant.
Good morning.
A cup of coffee, Lieutenant.
Oh, never on duty. Well, Tomcheck, ready?
Yes, sir.
You look as if you didn't even get to sleep last night.
Oh, Lieutenant, sometimes he's just restless.
Here, take these, Tomcheck.
Why, what's in the package, Lieutenant?
Pills.
Pills?
I stopped at our dispensary. I got you some pills for your arthritis.
Tomcheck, but you don't have arthritis.
Yes, I do.
Oh, what are you talking about? Since when do you have arthritis?
Well, I...
Well, maybe he's had it since last night, eh? Tomcheck, we must be off to the hunt.
Oh, Lieutenant.
Good evening, Marina.
But Tomcheck isn't at home.
He isn't?
Well, you didn't tell him you'd want to come.
Yes, that's right, I didn't. But I haven't come here to see Tomcheck.
No?
No. I want to see you.
Come in.
Thank you. I want to help you.
Help me?
First off, Tomcheck told me a lie.
A lie? About what?
About having arthritis.
Oh, but he does. Oh, he does.
No,
yes.
No. Now, it's a minor thing, a silly thing, but he told me a lie. Why does a man lie? He lies because he's nervous and frightened. Why should Tomcheck be nervous and frightened? Because he's doing something wrong? Something seriously wrong? Like what? Like hiding fugitives? You see how simple and logical it is?
But Tomcheck wouldn't, you know, he could.
He would. He could. He is. For 3 days now, he's been leading me all around the woods. There isn't a trace of those two.
Oh, but...
He's got them hidden away. Otherwise, how could they have disappeared so completely?
Oh, Tomcheck would never...
Marina, you're his wife. You love him. And right now, you're the only one who can save him.
But, Lieutenant...
Quiet. Shall I tell you how you can save him?
And suddenly a word, a single word, sears itself into Marina's consciousness. The word is betrayal. How can something she has yet to find out be a betrayal of someone or something that is very important to her husband? And just as he heard a voice in his heart, she also hears one now. A voice that says, "One of you shall betray me." I will return shortly with Act Three.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom's spirit like a wild bird's call. Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free.
The urge hits. You know you have to hit the road. So with Buick Skylark SR firmly in hand, you do just that. Quickly, confidently, you're on your way. Skylark SR's touring car cockpit. Its bold stance and spirited V6 engine make exhilarating excursions a daily occurrence. Find out at your Buick dealer now.
Inside your free.
There are times when it seems that the Lord sleeps and the world is abandoned to the will of the wicked. And during such times, perhaps the wisest course, perhaps the only course, is to survive, to endure, to wait for a long night to end, and to hope for a new day. But meanwhile, one must live. And right now, a young woman named Marina, whose home is in Central Europe during the Nazi occupation, is listening to what she must do if she is to live.
Marina, I need those two prisoners.
But Tomczyk doesn't...
No, you mustn't pretend you don't know Tomczyk is guilty.
Lieutenant, please.
Don't cry. Tomczyk, being Tomczyk, would sooner die than betray them.
But Tomczyk doesn't...
No, we must not go back to the beginning. We're past all that. Therefore, you must find out from Tomczyk where they are hidden.
But
and you will find out in 24 hours. Or do you know what I will do? I will shoot Tomczyk.
Do you hear the noise, Rebecca?
The noise, Grandfather?
The noise of the mob in the streets. They're getting ready. Ready to kill.
Grandfather, try to rest.
Rest? Now? The people, they must not make the same mistake as last time. They must not try to barricade themselves in the synagogue. They should come out here to this cave, an excellent hiding place. And besides, the golem can be more effective out in the open.
The golem?
Yes, child. I can make a golem.
But that's impossible.
What you wish to say is that only God can make a living creature. Huh? That's true. But the golem is not a living person. The golem is a force.
Yes, Grandfather. Yes. But now rest.
A man-made force. Where is Tomczyk, the young peasant who is so kind?
He will try to return.
Could he get me some salt, some clay, and some...
Yes, Grandfather, whatever you like. Now, please, rest.
Oh, my poor Tomczyk, you've fallen asleep over your dinner.
Oh. Yes, well, I'm just so tired.
Ah, it's too much for you, Tomczyk.
I have to go out.
Please.
Noreen, I'm sorry. I must do this. Now, don't try to talk me out of it.
But I don't want to do that. If what you're doing is important to you, it must also be important to me. And so, well, I must also be a part of it. I want to help.
No, it's too dangerous.
I must be a part of whatever you do, Tomcheck. Don't you understand? I, too, must help.
Marina, I love you so much.
That old man, he must be terribly ill.
He is.
Well, he needs good nursing care. Now, you know I could do that.
Would you?
Where is he? Tomcheck.
Marina, you look so beautiful right now. It must be because you feel beautiful.
Where are they hidden? When?
Marina, once I tell you, you become a part of it, too.
Where, Tomcheck?
You know the cave?
The cave?
Have you forgotten? We found it that day when we went walking. We went inside.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Now, the old man is terribly sick. He needs you, Marina.
Well, now, first I must go to town.
To town, why?
Well, there's Olga. I'll take the child to my brother's house.
Of course, she'll be safe there.
And then I'll stop for some medicine. And Tomcheck?
Yes.
I love you.
I know.
Oh, Tomcheck, you'll never know how much.
How is he now?
Quiet. He talks to himself. Oh, I'm frightened.
No, most people talk to themselves.
No. He talks to himself in Hebrew.
Well?
He has never learned Hebrew. He doesn't know it.
Are you sure?
Yes. And from what I can understand, it's a kind of medieval Hebrew that hasn't been spoken in hundreds of years. Now, how would he know it?
I don't understand. What is that?
I don't know how
it's
to explain.
All over the floor, all the way back in the cave. What has he done?
Well, he took the clay that you brought him, and well, he's making...
It's in the form of a man.
Yes, he's been making a golem.
Whatever it is, it's like a giant. Where did he get the clay?
He made it from that you brought.
I didn't bring all that much.
Yes, it's frightening. It seems to be growing. I can't believe my eyes, but there it is. Grandfather, please, tell us.
Be quiet.
But, Grandfather...
Sir, what is that?
I am about to write down certain words. Certain awful words. And in this place, there must be silence. The silence of the dead.
But you promised! You promised!
And I shall keep my promise, Marina. You have my word. You'll even be rewarded. Well?
They're hiding in a cave.
A cave? You must do better than that, my dear.
You pick up the pathway just past our house, and you follow it north for 2 miles. Now you come to a deep ravine. In front of you is what looks like a wall of solid rock.
But it isn't.
No. Because when you climb to the top of it, you will see the entrance to the cave.
Thank you. Sergeant, place her under arrest.
But you said...
I said you'd be rewarded. At this point, I don't know how. If you're lying, a firing squad will give you 30 leaden bullets. If you're truthful, there. There are 30 silver krona.
It's quiet. It's so quiet.
Too quiet. Appears to be in a trance. I wish I knew what to do.
No, don't be discouraged. Marina will know. She She was studying to be a nurse, but her parents lost their money. And she'll help.
Oh, bless her.
Yes. She's really a wonderful person. She worries a lot, but in the end, you can depend on her.
Maybe.
Maybe what?
Maybe you and your wife should just...
Yes?
It's not your fight.
Yes. Yes, Rachel, it's my fight. It always was my fight. Will you fight with me?
I don't know how.
Yes, you do.
Children! Children!
Oh, thank the Lord. He looks better.
Children! They have come for us. They have come.
Look, Grandfather, just be...
Listen, outside.
Around it, pull back.
Look down.
Separate.
Look down, the Nazis.
They're climbing up the rock.
They know where we are. They know we're here.
Come check. Come check. We know you're there. Come down.
Oh, Tom Check, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you.
Wait, I can hold them off. One man with a rifle can knock them down one at a time. We'll hold out till dark and we'll try to run for it.
No, Tom Check. It's no good. And I'm so tired.
No, no, don't lose courage.
Tom Check.
Save yourself, Tom Check.
Tom Check, you're a sensible person.
There comes a time. There comes a time when...
When what?
When he no longer hears our prayers. When he says, my children, it is your will. Do with it whatever you will. Destroy yourselves in your own madness. I abandon you.
Rachel, Rachel, you mustn't say that.
Grandfather. Grandfather, let us save Tom Jack. Let's give ourselves up. Grandfather. Grandfather.
Behold, my children. Behold.
Sing. That thing he made, it's moving.
The people shall be saved. The murderers shall perish.
Grandfather, what have you done?
We have been sent a champion.
It's a giant.
The champion shall smite the mad killers of the innocent.
Grandfather.
I have written the awful, never-to-be-forgotten words. I have breathed the force of life into the champion.
Clay giant, it's moving.
Clay no longer, but fire and steel.
Look at it. Will you look?
Through me, it has acquired the force and power of a million suns. He shall burn away the evil that surrounds us. I charge you, champion, avenger, protector. Call him! Go forth! Go forth!
Grandfather!
In there! Take them alive!
Hey!
What is that? What is that? What is that?
Oh, no. Can't you kill him? Destroyed them all. To the last man. What was it?
You saw a golem.
Where did it go?
It vanished. As if into thin air. But the pious old folks still believe. Oh, and they assure you that the golem will reappear one day. When someone shall awaken him to save the people.
What is that you're saying?
I remember reading the story of the golem.
Rachel. Rachel.
Grandfather.
My head. I had the strangest dream. I dreamed I was living hundreds of years ago. And I was... Who is this man? Where have I seen you before?
Come, Grandfather. We must be on our way.
Where? I'm so tired of running.
We will join the partisans. It's time we stopped running and started fighting.
Was there a golem? The question is, what is a golem? A thing of irresistible force. Well, so is a bomb. A British or American bomber flying overhead may have dropped one. On the other hand, the old gentleman was a scientific genius. He could have made one. Or it could have been what you heard. A golem. There is a legend that a medieval Hebrew scholar created a creature of great strength and power to rescue his beleaguered people from the madness of a mob, a creature called a golem. It is significant that the word golem means unfinished, and this is fitting because to save the world, we can only depend on a certain amount of help to be given us. The rest of the effort must be our own. Our cast included Robert Lansing, Mildred Clinton, Patricia Elliott, Ralph Bell, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The preceding program was furnished by the Columbia Broadcasting System. This is WOR New York and RKO General Stations.
I'm Fulton Lewis in the Mutual Broadcasting System studios in Washington, D.C. My commentary after this.
Have you seen the newest New York magazine, the one with Rita Hayworth and Ali Khan, and with Dick Tracy and Tess Trueheart, the year's newest newlyweds on the cover? What year is New York magazine talking about? Why, 1949. Because while you're looking ahead to the next quarter of a century, New York also wants you to look back 25 years to the year we entered modern times, for good or bad. 1949 was the last year, Arthur Miller writes in New York, when Americans felt unified about everything our country did. It was the low point, Betty Friedan, then a housewife, writes, of feminism. 1949 was the year of South Pacific and death of a salesman. It was also the year the Russians got the atom bomb. You'll see the not-yet-married Elizabeth Taylor, Humphrey Bogart, 7-year-old Barbara Streisand, Joe DiMaggio, and dozens of others as they were in 1949. Great pictures and great articles to help you understand the way we were in 1949 and how it got us to where we are today. It's all in New York Magazine's special year-end double issue.
The jurors in the Watergate cover-up trial began their final deliberations today with an admonition from the trial judge to consider 11 weeks of testimony fearlessly, calmly, and dispassionately. At 30 minutes after noon, Washington time, the 9 women and 3 men on the panel stepped into a small room off the courtroom to begin weighing the evidence against the 5 defendants. Those defendants, 3 of whom were close aides and advisors to former President Nixon, have all been accused of plotting to obstruct the investigation into the June 17, 1972 break-in at the Democratic Party National Committee headquarters here. The grand jury that returned the cover-up indictment named Nixon as an unindicted co-conspirator. During his 1 hour and 52 minutes of final instructions, U.S. District Court Judge John Sirica warned the jurors against considering anything but evidence heard in the courtroom in reaching their verdict, the judge saying, neither the pardon of former President Nixon nor any other cases or extraneous matters should have any effect on your deliberations or your verdict. As the 70-year-old Sirica neared the end of his instructions, his voice rose and he said heatedly, this is the case of the United States of America against the defendants. This case is not brought for the purpose of revenge or for any other such purpose. In the final analysis, the purpose of this trial and the reason for all of us being here can be summed up in just a few words. Your duty is to ascertain what the truth is. The jurors deliberate in a 7-by-10-foot room with yellow walls and functional government furniture. The members of the panel sit around a yellow oak table and communicate with Judge Sirica and Deputy U.S. Marshals only by written notes. The trial began with a jury selection process back on October 1st. The jury first started hearing testimony from more than 80 witnesses, and shortly after that enlisted to 30 tapes, including 28 of presidential conversations during the Nixon administration. The jurors were sequestered throughout the entire trial. Just before turning the case over to that jury, Judge Sirica today excused 5 alternate jurors who were selected with the others back on October 11th. The judge, seated in a high-backed red leather swivel chair, told the jury to ignore any impressions that they may have gotten about his own thinking in the case against defendants John Mitchell, H.R. Haldeman, John Ehrlichman, Robert Mardian, and Kenneth Wells Parkinson. The judge concluding, "You are instructed that if the court has said or done anything which has suggested to you that it is inclined to favor the claims or the positions of any of the parties in this dispute, you will not permit yourself to be influenced by any such suggestion." The 93rd Congress, of course, has adjourned, so any legislation it has passed, any legislation sent to the White House for the president's signature, were it to be formally vetoed, that Congress would not have the opportunity to override the veto. Consequently, a veto by the president at this point, and it could come just by refusing to sign a bill that has been approved by the Congress, is referred to as a pocket veto. And from Vail, Colorado, the president did announce today that he was pocket vetoing some controversial bills to regulate strip mining and to require shipment of 20% of imported oil in American flag tankers. The president had promised days ago to veto the strip mining legislation, but he had never taken a position on the bill to put 20% of imported oil aboard U.S. flag tankers now and increase proportions to 30% on July 1st, 1977. Explaining his decision on the tanker bill that had been strongly supported by the Seafarers International Union, the president said in his memorandum of disapproval, quote, "This bill would have the most serious consequences. It would have an adverse effect and impact on the United States economy and on our foreign relations. It would create serious inflationary pressures by increasing the cost of oil and raising the prices of all products and services which depend on oil." The president also argued that the bill would serve as a precedent for other countries to increase protection of their industries, resulting in a serious deterioration in beneficial international competition and trade. A president, as I mentioned before, can pocket veto a bill merely by not taking any action on it while the Congress is not in session. The president said that he was withholding his approval, really his signature, from the legislation to regulate strip mining because it would have an adverse impact on our domestic coal production, which is unacceptable. He cited a Federal Energy Administration estimate that by 1977, the first year that it would take full effect, coal production losses would range from 48 million tons to 141 million tons. The president said his administration would seek legislation next year that would, in his words, establish environmental protection and reclamation requirements appropriately balanced against the nation's need for increased coal production. From Moscow came word today that Soviet leader Leonid Brezhnev's long-heralded trip to the Middle East in January has now been indefinitely postponed. TASS reported the story. The main reason appeared to be that Brezhnev and Egyptian President Anwar Sadat have not been able to see eye to eye on future moves toward a firm Middle East settlement. Differences over terms for continued Soviet arms shipments to Egypt also were seen in Moscow and in Cairo as one of the major reasons for calling off the visit, although no reason was formally given in the terse announcement by the official Soviet news agency. TASS said that new dates for visits to Egypt, Syria, and Iraq would be agreed upon sometime later. Americans can legally own gold for the first time in 40 years tomorrow, but whether they will want to own it and just how much they're going to pay for it remains to be seen. Everyone from the government to banks and brokers has urged caution, pointing out possible difficulties in reselling gold later on, as well as the precious metal's recent history of wide and sudden price swings. The larger banks and brokerage houses that have advertised that they will retail gold beginning December 31st almost invariably have carried warnings like this one by Republic National Bank of New York, quote, note, gold is subject to market fluctuations and there is no assurance that its price will not fall below the price you paid for it. Arkansas Democrat Representative Wilmer Mills said today that he will not resign from the Congress because he believes he can conquer the alcoholism that he blames for some of his recent activities. In a statement, three-page statement issued through his office today, Mills said, "This illness has caused me to suffer blackouts from time to time, periods during which I have no knowledge of what I was doing." The Arkansas Democrat is a patient at the Bethesda Naval Medical Center. He's been there since December 3rd. He said that while the blackouts were temporary and occurred only when he drank, they do explain some of my recent activities. Those activities, of course, became a matter of public record early on the morning of last October 7th, when Mills, his face scratched and bleeding, emerged from the rear seat of his limousine, which had been stopped by police at Washington's Tidal Basin. On November 7th, a month later, Mills appeared on the stage of a Boston burlesque house, holding hands with his companion of the October evening, Miss Fanny Fox, a striptease dancer also known as the Argentine Firecracker. In his statement today, Representative Mills said, quote, "I deeply regret the embarrassment and the pain that I have brought to my family, which I love dearly." He also apologized to his constituents and to his colleagues in the House of Representatives. Today's statement by Representative Mills, I think, was both courageous and commendable. His actions of the past few months have been a little bewildering, and of course they gained national, even international notoriety because of the fact that the Arkansas Democrat was regarded as one of the most powerful politicians in all of Washington. There was very serious doubt that he could continue burning the candle at both ends, so to speak, particularly when one of those ends involved the safekeeping of the nation's entire tax structure. And Representative Mills seemed to be recognizing this doubt when earlier this month he voluntarily gave up his post as chairman of the Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee. The health problem, which he now also recognizes, the illness of alcoholism, is one which plagues this entire nation, of course. I myself have conducted no formal surveys to back up my next statement, but my informal observations over the years have led me to a very strong belief that there is a disproportionate degree of alcoholism on Capitol Hill, and indeed spread throughout the entire federal establishment in this city. In other words, Representative Wilbur Mills is certainly not alone among his colleagues in suffering from this disease. He seems to be alone only in that he is candidly admitting his illness. Congressmen are probably subjected to an abnormal amount of pressure in their work, and I imagine they have much, much greater access to alcohol than most other people. The average member of the House or Senate could not physically consume all of the drinks that he is handed or at least offered in the course of any average day. The degree of drinking is enormous, however. So enormous that Arizona Republican Representative Sam Steiger, when he first came to the House of Representatives back in 1967, made a public statement then expressing his shock at the lack of morality on Capitol Hill. For a freshman congressman to issue such a criticism was unheard of, and Representative Steiger was slapped down by House leaders for having stepped out of line, for having rocked the boat. Well, perhaps Representative Mills' confession of today will give the boat another rocking, one that it desperately needs. At the very least, it is to be hoped that Representative Mills does succeed in licking this disease himself, because perhaps if he does, it will serve as an example to some of his colleagues that they can and should lick it themselves. And that kind of leadership is something the Congress desperately needs. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve, the next day New Year's Day, and in keeping with a recent tradition, I'll have a very special guest at this microphone with me for those two broadcasts. He's America's most bizarre, probably most popular professional bureaucrat. Tomorrow you will take a look, a bureaucrat's look at 1974 with Dr. James Boren, the president of the National Association of Professional Bureaucrats. From the Mutual Studios in Washington, I'm Fulton Lewis, and that's the top of the news as it looks from here.